What's happening, everybody? On today's show, week six of the SEC, we'll give you our picks and predictions for this weekend's games. Also, we'll talk with college football analyst Taylor McCarr, get his thoughts on the SEC and college football as a whole. He's got some interesting thoughts on the Texas A&M Aggies, and we'll go around the conference with some tidbits across the SEC as teams prepare for a monster weekend. Plenty to discuss, plenty to get into. Let's do it. Let's jump right into it.
You are Locked On SEC, your daily podcast on the Southeastern Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome into Locked On SEC. Great to have you guys along. I'm Chris Gordy. Thanks for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. Remember, Locked On SEC is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube and at LockedOnSEC.com. Let's jump into it.
Boots out to the right. Makes the handoff.
What a catch! Around the conference.
And we go around the conference, starting in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. They are 5-0, set to be a favorite as they head to Kyle Field to take on Texas A&M on Saturday. The Aggies looking to reverse course after two straight losses to Arkansas and Mississippi State. And now the Tide, they're expected to win big in this one. Nick Saban, however, not going to leave anything to chance, regardless of his opponent. Saban, talking with the media yesterday, said, "I think this is a very dangerous team, and I think this is a little bit of a trap game for us." Saban added the Aggies may come in with a little desperation and urgency. They don't want to lose three straight in the SEC. I'll tell you this, the fans will be motivated. The crowd will be loud. The problem is Texas A&M is not very good with Zach Calzada at quarterback, and that's working in Alabama's favor. Over at LSU, they're going to be without one of their defensive linemen as they travel to Lexington to take on Kentucky on Saturday. Ed Ogeron announced yesterday that his team will be without defensive tackle Joseph Evans, who has recorded 8 tackles thus far this year, with 2 for a loss. Yet another blow for a team that is going to be without Derek Stingley Jr. for some time. He underwent a procedure on Wednesday to repair an injured foot. And some people think he will miss the rest of the season. So we'll see if LSU's defense can respond. Over in Knoxville last Saturday, Tennessee had one of their best showings of the season, rolling Missouri 62-24, picking up their first SEC win of the year. Now the Vols will look to keep that momentum going. Talking with the media yesterday, Josh Heupel said the key for us is just understanding what allowed us to play in that manner and to continue to improve those things during the course of the week. He said those things lead you to kickoff. It doesn't guarantee the end result that you're looking for, but it puts you in that best position. I think there's a case and a hunger for more. We'll see if Tennessee can get off to a great start yet again. They've been so good in the first quarters. We talked about that earlier this week. But Josh Heupel looking to make another statement this week with playing South Carolina. I mentioned the Aggies. They're hosting Alabama this weekend. They're also going to be hosting a big-time recruit. 2022 defensive lineman Walter Nolan is the number one overall player in the 2022 recruiting class. He's the number one defensive lineman, the number one overall recruit from the state of Tennessee. So we will see if he is impressed by the Aggies on Saturday night. A foot injury has hampered the progress of Missouri wide receiver Mookie Cooper this year. He suffered in fall camp, and he's played in 4 games, but he's not been fully involved in the offense like he'd like to be. Eli Drinkwitz, talking this week, said that he has recovered and will be a full go against North Texas on Saturday. Talking about Mookie Cooper, Eli said he's full speed, ready to go. We look forward to him playing. He's not held back at all. He's ready to play. So watch for Mookie Cooper to be a difference maker for Mizzou moving forward. Over in Oxford, Ole Miss, they're going to play host to Arkansas Saturday afternoon in their SEC home opener. And the first 5,000 fans going to the game are going to get a treat after last week's infamous "Get Your Popcorn Ready" comment that Lane Kiffin made on the CBS broadcast. The Rebels are owning that comment, and they're going to provide the first 5,000 fans with free popcorn on Saturday. So enjoy your free popcorn. Get your popcorn ready, Rebels fans. Bryce Young seems to be in the driver's seat for the Heisman this year, the Alabama quarterback. And according to our buddy Bill Bender of the Sporting News, doing radio appearances this week, he said that there are several candidates he thinks could also be in the race. He said Travion Henderson, who was the running back at Ohio State, said he's continuing to pile up some big numbers. Keep him in mind. And also, Bender mentioned Texas running back Bijan Robinson. So he thinks Ole Miss quarterback Matt Corral isn't totally out of the picture. But he said, I don't know if Matt Corral is out. That was his great chance last week against Alabama to get to the Heisman level. And obviously, Corral wasn't all that impressive. But regardless, Bryce Young in the driver's seat for the Heisman Trophy. We'll see if he's able to do more down the stretch to impress and make his case. Thanks again for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. Coming up next, we're going to talk with our buddy Taylor McHarg, longtime college football analyst. We'll get his thoughts on some of the topics across the SEC, including the Texas A&M Aggies hosting Alabama this weekend. That's next. Quick minute here to remind you about our friends over at Built Bar. So many delicious flavors. There is something for everyone. And when you talk to somebody who is a fan of the Built Bar, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. Mine is the Mint Brownie. Of course, you got the coconut, the cherry barcia, the raspberry, strawberry, cookies and cream, German chocolate. There is something for everybody. And if you haven't tried them all, I always recommend you get a mixed box where you get two of each of their nine flavors. Many of the flavors packed 17 to 18 grams of protein in there. Calories ranging from just 130 to 180, 4 grams sugar, 4 grams net carbs. You can't go wrong. Amazing flavors, all tasty, and all healthy for you. So go check them out at BuiltBar.com and make sure you use our promo code LOCKED15, where you'll get 15% off your first order. If you've never ordered from them before, 15% off over at BuiltBar.com. Go check them out. And again, if you want to try the mint brownie or you want to find one that's your favorite or just get the mix box, all of it is there for you at BuiltBar.com. Right along here, Locked On SEC, and we thank you guys for listening and joining us. And every week around this time, we catch up with our buddy, college football analyst Taylor McHarg. Been covering college football for several years now. Always love to get his perspective on the SEC, and he jumps in with us now. Taylor, what's going on, man? Let's jump into things. How are you?
All right, man. Let's do it. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, man. Let's start with what was supposed to be the big one this weekend, Alabama traveling to take on Texas A&M. I had this as one of my upset specials before the season. Obviously, that was before Texas A&M lost their starting quarterback, and the season has kind of taken a nosedive ever since. But why has Jimbo Fisher gotten off to such a disappointing start in your mind?
This has been a total head-scratcher to me. I think back to their first couple games, even when Haynes King, their starter, was healthy, they still didn't look that great on offense. And then, obviously, Haynes goes down. That win against Colorado looks to be, you know, one of the worst teams in the Pac-12, and they scored 10 points in that game. On offense, they've got problems, and they really their receiver core has been really disappointing. So, you know, the easy thing, I think sort of the lazy take is, well, they're down to their backup, and Zach Calzada is just clearly not what Haynes King would have been. Well, that's fine, but their offensive line play and their receiver play has been pretty poor. They have a good defense. Make no mistake about it. It's a top unit in the country. And with a confident offense, I think this could have still really been a competitive SEC team. But they are so poor on offense right now that I think this is going to be a team, by the time you get to the end of the year, that's going to be really closer to hovering around 500 or maybe 7-5. But they've got some real problems on offense that Jimbo's getting paid a lot of money. And a lot of it's a guaranteed contract. That is not a fan base that's going to be patient and certainly not going to tolerate anything around 500 out of the SEC West. They brought him in to win the SEC West, beat Alabama, and try and get into the Final Four.
Taylor, I know they've recruited really well, a bunch of 4- and 5-star talent in there. What's been the biggest problem in your mind there for Jimbo?
They have missed on some of the guys that you're talking about that are the 4- and 5-star recruits. Some of these guys have not lived up to their billing. And then I think part of it also is there has been a significant step down. Zach Calzada at quarterback is really struggling. And I think Haynes King gave them his ability to be mobile, I think, gave them an element that they don't have right now. But the scheme on offense just looks broken. Nothing is – they struggle to put together drives, and they struggle to stay on the field. There's a lot of three and outs. There's a lot of shooting themselves in the foot, things that you just don't expect to see out of a Jimbo Fisher offense. And I get, again, Haynes King going down put them behind the eight ball, but – I think the expectations going into the season was this was a good enough unit that even if you got down to your backup, look at Georgia right now. I mean, Georgia goes down to their backup, and look what they do to Arkansas. So I think there's more questions than answers right now for A&M, and I think it's a combination of they've missed on some of these kids that are in the scheme, but I also don't think the scheme is setting people up for success, and down to your backup quarterback, kind of a perfect storm for them on offense, and I think that's why they're struggling the way that they are.
Talking with Taylor McCarr, college football analyst. One more for you, Taylor. Alabama and Georgia appear to be the two best teams in the country. They're right there at the top, look pretty complete. In your mind, are they just clearly the two best teams in the country at this point, or you're looking around at some other teams right now?
Well, I think they certainly deserve the 1 and 2 spot, and then behind them, Iowa playing phenomenal team defense, but their offense is pretty poor. And they've really relied on turning people over. I mean, if you watch that game against Maryland last Friday, 7 turnovers forced in that game. Well, you're going to win almost every game you play. It doesn't matter who it is if you could force 7 turnovers. I think I'm still waiting to get a true road test for Georgia. We haven't seen that yet. The SEC slate, this happens every year. There is a team that has to go on the road and loses an SEC game that you just wonder. Take Florida last week against Kentucky. I know that's not one of the two teams we're talking about, but that there's a reason that it's we talk about the SEC the way that we do and the gauntlet that those teams have to go through. So I'm not ready to just proclaim Alabama and Georgia, go ahead and lock them into the Final Four. Also wouldn't be surprised if they're there, but there is a chance that one of these teams slip up in the regular season. Behind them, I think this is the most wide open we've seen it in a long time. And what's going to be interesting for me is as this plays out with the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and the Big 12, it's likely that you get a 1-loss and potentially 2-loss champions for all three of those conferences. Mm. And then you got to factor in BYU, who looks strong and is undefeated right now, and Cincinnati, who looks good and is undefeated. The last two positions, if we just, for the sake of the argument, assume Bama and Georgia do run the table, what do you do with those last two spots if you have some conference champions with some losses? I think there's the potential for there to be some real chaos at the end of the season, but Cincinnati is going to need all the help they can get because, as you know, that playoff committee does not want to put a Group of Five school in there.
No doubt. Talking with Taylor McCarr, college football analyst. Taylor, thanks again for the time, man.
I appreciate it.
All right, there we go. Taylor McCarr here on Locked On SEC. Quick reminder, thanks again for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. Coming up next, we're going to give you our picks for this weekend's games in the SEC. That's coming your way. Need to remind you guys again real quick about betonline.ag. They're back and better than ever. We got tons of college football games happening this weekend, of course, across the SEC and every single SEC game is on the board. I was just looking at their website at betonline.ag. Every one of them is there and available for your offering, your taking, whatever it is you want to do to get in on these games. They're there for you. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all things pro and college football action this season. Got a new updated site and interface, more odds, props, and contests, and BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head over to their website right now. You can sign up today, receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. Receive your bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Go check them out today. You don't want to be that guy sitting on your couch Saturday night going, I knew it. I should have bet on this game, and you didn't. Go head on over to betonline.ag. Rolling on here, Locked On SEC, about to head into week 6 of the conference. Crazy to think we are cruising along as quickly as we are, starting to figure out the contenders, the pretenders, and who's really going to take a nosedive in this season. Granted, we had so many teams that showed hope and showed promise these last couple weeks, and there are teams like Arkansas and Texas A&M where it could go sideways very quickly. So let's jump into it. Let's take a look at some of the betting lines happening this weekend. We start with South Carolina at Tennessee. I was maybe appalled is too strong of a word to use, but when I saw Tennessee as a 10.5 home favorite against South Carolina, look, I know South Carolina has stumbled a little bit. They didn't look all that great beating Troy last week, but this is a one-week overreaction to what we saw Tennessee do to Missouri last week. It was great. Don't take anything away from them. Josh Heupel, fantastic. But, man, I thought this would be more like a 3-4, maybe even 5-point spread. But 10.5? Look, I think Tennessee's going to win the game, but I think it's much closer than this. Give me South Carolina plus the 10.5. The half is the key. Because keep in mind, Tennessee could win this game something 31-21. And South Carolina still covers the points. I think that's a lot of points and an overreaction to what we saw last week. South Carolina plus 10.5. That game will be at 11 a.m. Central, 12 Eastern on ESPN2. Another 11 a.m. Central, 12 Eastern game on the SEC Network. It'll be Vanderbilt at Florida. Another one where my mouth dropped open when I saw Florida is a 39-point home favorite. But, man, Vanderbilt is bad. I know they got to win over UConn, but Vandy is terrible. Florida just stubbed their toe. The offense was in quicksand last week just in terms of scoring points. They moved the ball up and down the field in Kentucky. They just couldn't come away with points. I think Florida bounces back. I think they score a ton of points, and I don't think Vandy scores any. I'm predicting Florida wins something like 45-0, 51-3, something like that. Give me Florida minus the 39. I know it's a lot of points, but Vandy's a lot of suck. The other early game on Saturday morning, 11 a.m. Central on ESPN. It'll be Arkansas at Ole Miss. Ole Miss, a 5.5-point home favorite. Look, Arkansas was humbled last week in Athens. They couldn't do anything offensively. We knew KJ Jefferson was banged up. The offensive line was not any good. They couldn't run the ball like they had previous weeks against Texas A&M and Texas. And I think Ole Miss, they're ready to bounce back from their dismal showing last week in Tuscaloosa. All the fourth downs that didn't work out for Lane Kiffin. I think Ole Miss bounces back and bounces back in a big way. And I think they cover this 5.5. It's a shame for Sam Pittman and Arkansas. They were looking really good, found themselves in the top 10. I think this is where Arkansas starts to kind of, the schedule catches up with them. Again, if they were playing the Vandys and teams like that, Arkansas would keep rolling. But I think playing tough teams in the SEC, it's going to catch up to them. Give me Ole Miss minus the 5.5. Your 2:30 Central, 3:30 Eastern game on CBS. It is the Deep South's oldest rivalry. It is Georgia at Auburn. And man, when I saw this line, I mean, look, Georgia's defense is the real deal. But Auburn is a 15.5-point home underdog. Underdog. Not like outside of Alabama, has Auburn been a double-digit underdog at home to anybody in recent years? Man, it is tempting to take Auburn and those points. But I ain't getting fooled by Georgia. That defense is the sickest, most ridiculous defense I've seen up front. The D-line, the pressure they get, the secondary, everything on that team. They've even have, you know, as Kirby Smart said this week, they have opportunity for, you know, missed chances like interceptions and things like that. Bo Nix pulled a rabbit out of his hat last week at LSU. Was able to keep those drives alive, throwing the ball down the field for those amazing touchdowns. They got the win. Great win for Auburn. But I think Georgia smokes them. I think the crowd's going to be live. I think they're going to be into it, but I don't think they're going to have much to cheer for. I think Georgia jumps out to an early lead and doesn't look back. Give me Georgia minus the 15.5. Gosh, that line is tempting. 3 p.m. Central, 4 Eastern on the SEC Network. It's North Texas at Missouri. Missouri is a 19-point favorite. Don't really have much to say on this one other than Missouri and Eli Drinkwitz, you better get your crap together, and you better win this game, and you better cover the 19 against North Texas. Two night games, we get LSU at Kentucky. I'm going to be at the game here in Lexington. Kentucky is a three-point home favorite, 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern on the SEC Network. Fun game, man. Everybody's jumping on Coach O, wanting to fire him and run him out of town. I'll just say this. LSU's had two losses this season. They've been close. They were in the game with UCLA going into the fourth quarter and let it slip away, and they were up big on Auburn last week, and they let that one slip away. LSU is still a very good team, and it seems like everybody's jumping on the Kentucky bandwagon. Kentucky has won ugly a couple times this year, including last week against Florida, but man, sometimes that playing with fire catches up with you. Sometimes you keep playing those close games, and oh, they just pulled it out. Sometimes those take a toll, and you lose one of those eventually. I'm going with my upset special. I'm going with LSU plus the three. I'm going with LSU straight up. Look, Kentucky proved me wrong. If you're able to win this game at home against a really good LSU team, I think Kentucky is going to be in a great spot too. Look, they're going to play Georgia. They'll probably lose to Georgia, but run the table the rest of the way and get to a big-time bowl game. That would be great for this Georgia team. We'll see what happens, but I'm picking LSU in the upset. Prove me wrong, Kentucky. And the last one, the other CBS night game, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. It is Alabama at Texas A&M. This was supposed to be one of the biggest games of the year in the SEC. It is not anymore because of Texas A&M's lack of stability at that quarterback spot. Zach Calzada has not been good. A&M is an 18-point home underdog against Alabama. Again, can't remember last time A&M was an 18-point underdog to anybody. But Alabama's just so good. Bryce Young, they finally got the run game really going last week with Brian Robinson. I think Alabama wins big, and I think they cover the 18. It's very simple. So there you have it. Those are our picks for the week. And thank you again for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. A quick reminder, go make a second listen of your day. Check out some of our great SEC podcasts across the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On Razorbacks with John Neighbors, Locked On Vols with Eric Kane, Locked On Bulldogs we have, Locked On Bama. Some great podcasts out there. Whoever your favorite SEC team is, chances are we've got a podcast for you. That's going to do it for me, Chris Gordy. I'll talk to you guys on Monday. We'll recap to everything that happens in week 6 of the SEC. We'll talk to you guys then.